And we're starting our new lesson today that I am very, very excited about. Lesson 25, The Way, the Truth, and the Life. And we're just going to open in prayer as always. Lord, we just thank you for another day. Lord God, we thank you for another Sunday morning, Lord God. We thank you for your people, Lord God. We thank you that you have made us your people, Lord God. Father, that you have adopted us into your family, Lord God, and that means so much, Lord God. I pray over the lesson today that we would absorb, we would understand, we would digest what it means to be your child, Lord God, what it means to walk with the way, the truth, and the life, Lord God. Father, I pray that our hearts would be receptive and our minds would be open, Lord God. We pray you just put a shield about us, Lord God, a shield of angels, Lord God, so we can hear what you would have us to hear, Lord God. Not just in this house of God, but houses of God all over the world, all over the nation, Lord. Let your people grow. Let your people learn. Let your people walk in your will and your way, Lord God. Father, we're done with doing lip service, Lord God. We're ready to walk this way.
Hallelujah.
And we thank you and we praise you for your Holy Spirit that make it possible in us. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. We're going to go right into the introduction, The Way, the Truth, and the Life. And if someone does not have a handout, I have an original. If we can, who needs a handout? Who does not have a handout and needs one? Okay, we'll have to get you. Anyone else? Okay, we got several people. Who knows how to work the printer? I always look to you, Rita. I'm sorry, but you're just a blessing. Rita will make us some copies. And let's go with, I think we probably need about five. And as always, the lessons will be up on podcast. If you go to my website, faithbites.com, you will find the podcasts are up there. Andrea Jordan has been such a blessing to get those up every week, so you can hear the lesson again. So we're going to go right into the lesson 25, The Way, the Truth, and the Life. And our key verse is from John 14, 6, and this is the Amplified, and it says, Jesus said unto him, I am the only way to God and the real truth and the real life. No one comes to the Father but through me. Thank God for the Amplified. It just breaks it down for us, doesn't it? And the key theme of this chapter is purpose, which I think is so appropriate as we're starting out 2017, because we really need to understand purpose, our purpose personally and our purpose corporately as the body of Christ. The first point on your lesson says, purpose is not found in a cause or a creed, but a person, our Lord Jesus Christ, who described himself as the way, the truth, and the life. And that's from your book. And you know, folks, although you may have heard this message since childhood, I wonder how many of us really understand the gravity of Christ's words when he describes himself as the way, the truth, and the life. How many understand that his name, the way, the truth, the way, the truth, and the life is our path to purpose? So we're going to really break this down. And so that we could all understand, because I tell you, I'm learning along with you. I'm so blessed when I'm doing these lessons and I'm just learning so much about him. As I said, when I get to heaven, I don't want to meet a stranger in Christ. He knows me perfectly, but I don't want to walk and not know him. And I think some of us feel that way. I felt that way at one time. Like, yeah, I've heard about this Jesus, but do I really understand and know him? Well, that's why we come and we learn. That's why we come to Sunday school and Bible study, so we can, when we see him, we'll know him as he is. He wants to have dialogue with you right now. He wants to have intimate relationship with you right now. You know, and if you will allow that to happen, boy, it will be the best relationship that you have ever, ever known. And that is no exaggeration. I'm not just quoting something. This is something that I'm coming to understand, that he is your best friend. So as we go into our next point here, it says Jesus is the embodiment of the purpose of God. He is the way or the path to purpose. Within this way is reconciliation with God. What we're going to do, we're going to break down each part of these names. Now we're going to start with the way, move on to the truth, and then end with the life as we do the introduction. So as we talk about the way, we understand, as your note says, Jesus created the way. with his blood that was shed on Calvary. There is no other way for humankind to be reconciled with their Creator than through the Son of the Creator. The blood of the Son is the only sacrifice that has been accepted by the Creator as a sufficient price for their sins. You know, and if I could just step out of humankind for just a minute, I just want to step out of humankind, if you guys will let me, and just look at this. Let's look at this logically. You know, let's just look at this logically. It makes sense that the only sacrifice, the ransom accepted by the human Creator for the humans, could say, the only sacrifice that could save, the only ransom would be the blood of the Son of the Creator. That just makes sense. See, you can't make somebody accept what you want to give them in exchange for something. You can't walk into Walmart and give them Monopoly money and says, well, I'm just going to give you this and I just want to take these groceries. That's not going to work, is it? Because Walmart will not accept Monopoly money for groceries. So when we look at this logically, we have to look at what did the Creator of humanity accept as a sacrifice for the sins of humanity? When we stepped away of our own will, away from God, what did he accept? That's why you can't bring in all this other stuff and saying all these ways to God, because the Creator has only accepted one way. And that way is his Son, Jesus Christ. That's just logic, folks. That is just logical. So we want to look at this way, and we want to understand this way. The sacrifice of the Son meant something to God. The love of the Son for mankind meant something to God. When he looked and he saw his Son suffering, that meant something to him. You know, it wasn't like, well, God, we're going to give you these bulls, and we're going to give you these goats, and we're going to give you these doves. God's like, you know, I could just speak, and the doves and the goats would appear. But you got my Son. My Son loved you so much that my Son is creating a way for you. So how can I not accept the way that my Son is laying out? I want this to really hit home. I hope I'm making sense to you all, because we really got to understand why we can't go with all these other ways, that he is the way. Therefore, only the Son can be and forever will be the way. Although there are many, many religions on the planet, within these religions, I find no other Son who was worthy and who sacrificed himself for mankind, only Jesus. There are many religions on the planet, but if I could just step back out of humankind and just look at humans, I don't see any other religion where the Son of the Creator came down and sacrificed himself to make a way for the humans to come back to God. Is this making sense to you? This is why he has to be the way. I know there are a lot of things out there that make us feel good, and we can go into meditation and we can take deep breaths and all of that. And, you know, some people are into so many different kind of things, but I'm telling you, there is nothing that even comes close to reconciling humanity back to the Creator than what the Son did to make the way. The next point says the teaching that there are many ways to God is a great lie. I'm sorry, people may get mad at me for saying that, but the teaching that there are many ways back to God or the Creator is a great lie. And I have to tell you the truth. Okay, I can't sit up here and continue a lie by telling you there's many ways to God. There isn't. As I just said, I just spelled it out for you. Why? Because the Father has got to accept the sacrifice for the way. And there's nothing else he has accepted except the blood of his Son. That's the only thing he has accepted. There is no logic or truth to sustain or back up this lie. It is like stepping onto a paper bridge over an abyss, believing it can hold your weight. But the laws of gravity have established that it cannot and will not hold you up. You will break through and fall to your death. So it will be with all who do not accept the way of the Son. The way of the Son is logical, and it is backed up by proof and power. I want you to get that picture of walking across an abyss and the bridge is made of paper. That's what people are doing today. Oh, I'm just going to believe this. And this makes me feel good for a moment. So I'm just going to believe this and I'm going to believe that. You're walking across an abyss on a paper bridge. It cannot hold weight. Lies cannot hold weight. And we're going to hit on that a little bit. It amazes me when people say that there is no proof of God or his Christ, when the proof is in their faces every day. The order of the earth and the universe to sustain life is great proof of the Almighty. But many people choose to live with blinders on. How can you not understand that order does not come out of chaos? It's a rule. It's a scientific fact. So I don't know how people, even scientists, can say that there is no intelligent being that did all of this, because we are creatures of order. The fact that your body, I mean, we've talked about this over and over, all the systems in your body, circulatory system on top of the nervous system, on top of the lymphatic system, and they all integrate together to work so that you can do what you do. And then we look on it on an atomic level and we see all the atoms and molecules that make up everything that we see around us. This chair is made of atoms. My hand is made of atoms, but I can touch the chair. And then I come apart and I'm not part of the chair and the chair is not part of me. It took intelligence to do that. It took intelligence. You know, God didn't need a Ziploc bag to keep me from becoming a part of this chair. He just said, that's Karen, she's gonna stay Karen, her molecules are gonna stay with her, and the chair is the chair, and the chair is gonna stay the chair. All he did was speak order into the world, and order became. You don't even have to look, as I said, you don't even have to look further than your own body to see order. Everywhere you look, the atmosphere of the earth. I mean, that we're enveloped in this atmosphere that sustains life. Of all the nine, I don't know if they said we have 8 or 9 planets now, they keep going back and forth. But of all these planets that are revolving around this ball of fire, only one that we know of is sustaining life. Ask the people of Jupiter. Oh, wait a minute, there are no people on Jupiter, right? Because he called it into being, folks. You've got to get this, that there is proof all around us. There is evidence all around us that God exists. So do not believe the great lie that says he does not exist, because the evidence is all around you. And I'm telling you, one day when we stand before, you're not going to have anything to say if you didn't believe. You will have nothing to say because it was all around you. You can look in a flower. You ever look at a flower petal and see the veins in the flower petal? I'm like, that is so amazing. I mean, who could do that? We don't even have instruments that can really do that. So anyway, that is my soapbox on the proof of God. That people walk around with blinders on, and the blinders is on their mind. They don't want to see God. For one reason or another, some are mad at God. And I'm like, if you don't believe him, why are you so angry at him? That's what I don't get with the atheists. They get so heated when you talk about God. I'm like, who are you mad at? If he doesn't exist, who are you mad at? Because deep in the inside of every human being, I just believe this, there is a knower. There is a knower of the Creator in each and every one of us. There's a knower. And we talk to him. Some of us won't even admit we talk to him. Some unbelievers won't admit they talk to him, but they talk to him. Because I believe there's a knower inside of us that calls on us. As soon as, I mean, the phrase that we use so commonly, oh my God. Oh my God. OMG, it's even a text, OMG. Evolved into the next generation, the OMGs everywhere. Because there's a knower inside us that tells us that God exists, that the Creator is out there. So again, that takes us back to the way that the Creator has put in place to reconcile us back to him. The next point says, we have sinned. We were born into it. Within our sin, our purpose has been lost. I want you to really get that. Within sin, we lost our purpose. That's what happened. That's why so many of us are just wandering the earth. What is the meaning of life? What is the meaning of life? Because within sin, we lost it. We lost our purpose. We don't know why we're here. We try to create purpose, but in the end, we must face that it is meaningless. We try to create all kind of purposes. But in the end, what does it mean? Many come to that conclusion after they have built all their empires and they padded their bank accounts, got their big bank accounts, and they've got all this stuff, and they've got the houses and the cars and all the riches of the land, and then they end up saying, what did it all mean? What was it all about? Because when you don't have purpose, it does not withstand the test of time as purposeful or meaning something, because we've lost our way. And it's so sad at the end of someone's life and they're like, what was it all about? What did I do? It was all about me, but now I'm dying, so what did I leave on the earth? Why was I even here? Our only way out is the bridge of redemption bought by the blood of Christ, the way. And I hope you're just looking at that picture that, boy, I thought was so amazing. I found that online. Just an amazing picture of Jesus as the way across the abyss of hell. Jesus is the way. You don't have to feel lost or empty anymore because the way has come. You understand? You don't have to feel like you're wandering the earth anymore because the way has come to lead you to purpose in life. So that's just one, that's part one, the way, okay? Part two, let's talk about the truth, and we've already hit on it a little bit. The truth, he is the truth. The truth about all there was, is, and will be in this life and in your life. You understand, this is not just a corporate thing that God knows about the world. God knows about you. He saw you when you were being formed. When he was forming you in your mom's womb, he saw you. He's seen every single moment of your life. He knows you. He knows the truth about you. No matter what anybody else says about you, he knows the truth about you. He is the opposite of the liar, Satan, who will tell you lies all of your life. Do you hear me? He will tell you lies about yourself, about others, all your life, leading you into episode after episode of purposeless behavior until you are dead. And that is not an exaggeration. People do that all the time. Episode after episode. Purposeless behavior. Drama after drama after drama. Meaning nothing. Until your time runs out. The clock is ticking. Tick, 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 tick. Every little gray hair pops on my head. I know, tick, tick, tick. That's my clock ticking. I'm glad God gave us these built-in clocks. The hair, the skin, doesn't bounce back like it used to. Yeah, these things are not like they used to be, guys. Since we're in mixed company, ladies, I'm gonna leave it at that, okay? But he will do this. He will lead you in episode after episode until you're dead. You got to realize the clock is ticking. The most common method in which humans are destroyed is through lies. By far. From suicide to homicide. Lies. When people take their own life, They have been lied to.
Yes.
The enemy's right there lying to them, lying to them, lying to them to the very end, lying to them. And it's such a heartbreak to all types of destructive behaviors and all type of destructive talk, all type of destructive things based in lies. Wars fought in lies. Because that's what the enemy does. These are all born from lies and deceptions that come from the enemy. Things that people get into. Next point says, I can't say the leading of Satan is not riddled with fun, because there is fun to be had, folks. You know, some of you all weren't saved all your life. Come on now. There is fun to be had out there, right? But Satan gives no lasting and meaningful purpose to it.
That's right.
You end up at some point just empty because there's no truth in it. See, truth lasts, but lies don't last. There's no backing for lies. Christ is the truth and will lead you to the essence of the purpose of your existence and then fulfill it. Within the fulfillment is satisfaction, peace, and joy. That is lasting. It'll last throughout eternity. Satisfaction, peace, and joy is what the truth brings to your life. The lie is temporary. You get that, you feel good for a moment and it's gone. It's a lie because there's no backing to it. It's like a wisp of smoke. It doesn't last. Truth will outlive lies. The natural course of a lie is to die. A lie will die. One wise person told me one time, if you live long enough, people will change their mind about you. They may believe the lie today, but just keep living. They will change their mind. Like, that couldn't have been true because, and you can fill in the blank. Because a lie, the natural course of a lie is to die. A lie has no backing. It has nothing to sustain it. Therefore, it will float around for a while and then eventually dies. So don't worry about people lying on you. It will die. Just keep living. Keep living for Christ. You know, I've learned I don't even argue the point anymore. I don't even have time for that. I said, I've got work to do for the Lord. I don't have time to answer every little lie that comes my way. Wasting my time. The clock is ticking. So be careful of that. Don't get involved with foolish arguments trying to defend yourself. Defend yourself. God will defend you. The scripture says he will make your cause shine like the noonday sun. And I believe that because he's done that for me. He's made my cause shine. I didn't have to say a word. And he did it. So a lie will eventually die. And if you have based your whole life on lies, you also will find yourself dying. And you will. Just running around, doing this, doing that. Be still and know that he is God. Be still and listen for your purpose and do that. Don't keep running around trying to satisfy the lie and trying to, you know, put the fire out in the lie. Because as soon as you put that one out, another one's going to be over there.
Exactly.
And that's how he operates. That's how the enemy operates. If he can't stop us. So what he does is he distracts us. He distracts us all the time with lies. Is it not true? All kind of lies. Remember the last time you heard a lie about yourself? And you get that, oh, what? They said, oh my God, I can't believe. Let me call them up. Get on your phone. Listen, I heard you said. And you've wasted all that time. And that's how the enemy operates. And he's just sitting back looking at you. Let's get another lie going on over here, because she's going to be off that phone call pretty soon, and we need another one going. That's how he operates. I mean, it's funny, but it's true. I've learned how much he tries to distract me from the purpose. God called you to a specific purpose, and the enemy can't stop you, so maybe I can distract you and get you going on this thing and that thing. Get your emotions in check, folks. Don't let your emotions inspire you. Let the Holy Spirit inspire you. We're not five-year-olds anymore. Yeah, look at kids do that. Children do that. It's time to grow up in Christ and be inspired by the Holy Spirit. And not run around like children. Every time something happens, that's what kids do. Hurt my finger. Really? Well, that's my point. That is my point. If you cut your finger today, you're not like you did when you were five. You're okay. Let's get some water on this. Let's clean this up. Put a bandage on it and move on. I gotta finish dinner. Let me put a bandage on it. And you go on and do what you need to do. That's what the Lord wants of you. He sits there and he just watches. I love that picture I brought in of Jesus just watching the planet. Just like, and he's sitting down. It's like, there's nothing more I can do. I know that's what that picture says to me. There's nothing more I can do. You know, yeah, it is sad. Nothing more I can do. As the old ladies used to sing, he laid the foundation and opened up the way. What more could God do? They used to sing that at my church back home. What more could God do? What more could God do? He laid the foundation and opened up the way. What more could God do? And man, those old church mothers could sing that song, man. They could belt it out. And that song came back to me the other day when I was doing this. I was like, Lord, isn't it the truth? You're just sitting there like, there's nothing else I can do for them. I'm just waiting for them to finally get it. So we don't want to be carried away in lies. We don't want to be basing our whole life on a lie and then end up dying. Many people find themselves in this place eventually, empty and dying. Having feasted on lies most of their lives, they find themselves dead inside. Lives lived without meaningful purpose. And I don't say that things haven't happened to you. Things will happen. Things are going to happen on this planet. I'm going to tell you. Jesus told you, in the world you shall have tribulation. But then the other part of that scripture, be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. We need to take hold of that. It's going to happen. Things are going to happen. But you need to take the truth. Whatever happens to you, take it to the truth. And let him minister to you how to handle this situation. Because the truth has the whole truth. Sometimes what has happened to you is the result of something bigger going on. You only see that little segment that has affected you, but sometimes it's a bigger picture. The Lord is trying to draw somebody close to him. So he said, there's my child. I'm going to allow something to happen so she can be a light, because that person over here needs to see her light in the face of adversity. Do you understand? It's never just about you. I'm going to tell you, it's never just about you. If God, as I said, God is watching. Why did this happen to me? God is like, you're on the earth to fulfill my purpose. I've got somebody watching you. So I allow that to happen to you because I know I'm with you and I know I will raise you up and I will make you strong. And they need to see that lived out in a life. And that's why. And sometimes the things are really, really hard. You know, many of you have gone through some great losses, I'm telling you, that would break anybody's heart. But I've been so blessed. You know, many of you, you bless me when I see you get up and move on and like, okay, in the hands of the Lord, and I'm going on. And somebody needs to see that. That's truth. And the reason why you can get up is because of truth. Yes. It is true that whatever I've lost is in the hands of the Lord now.
That's right.
That's true. So I can get up. See, if it was a lie, when you had that loss, you couldn't get up again. No power, no strength to get up again because... But when you have the truth, man, the truth, oh my goodness, Do you understand the scripture that says the truth shall set you free? It sets me free. I'm like, okay, I don't have to worry about, you know, yes, I have had, folks, I've had some losses. I've had losses in my life. Things that laid me out flat, but laid me open. I'm telling you, I didn't think I was getting up again. I'm done. But then the truth. The truth. I couldn't get away from the truth. The truth kept coming back. The truth kept coming back. So the truth has backing. The truth does not die. The truth endures through anything that you're going through. As opposed to the lie. King Solomon wrote, "Vanities of vanities, all that is done without God's guidance is vanity. Futile, meaningless, a wisp of smoke, a vapor that vanishes merely chasing the wind." That's from Ecclesiastes 1 and 2. So you want to follow. You don't want to end up, folks, I implore you, you don't want to end up one day and haven't done any, carried out any purposes of God. And the purpose, I'm not talking about you have to be on television and you have to be, I'm just saying do the purpose in your home. What is the purpose? Parents, your purpose is in front of you, raising your children. Purpose. Doesn't have to be anything big and fancy and flashy. God is looking at, what is the purpose I put in front of you? What is the purpose? And some people are called to some great things. Some people are called to do some great things. And that be you. Don't squelch what God is doing. Sometimes God is speaking to you to do some amazing things and you're, well, not me. Don't let the liar get in your head and squash your purpose when God tells you it's going to be something amazing, great. I mean, I think it's amazing and great for everybody. But some people are going to stand out because that's their purpose God has called them to. Miles Monroe said, "The richest place in the world is the graveyard." You all remember that? Wow, I remember. Boy, that thing hit me like a ton of bricks. People that die with all their purpose within them. He wrote a lot about purpose. People that died with their purpose. All these things in them. Songs in them. Books in them. Greatness in them. Things that they should have started. Organizations they should have started. All the things they should have done. In them when they died. You don't want to be like that. I was just listening to the eulogy services of Bishop Eddie Long, and boy, it was an amazing. If you guys get a chance to go on YouTube and listen to the eulogy done by Bishop Ellis, it is amazing. Die Empty was the name of it. Die Empty. Die with stuff poured out. He just broke down how Jesus just gave and gave. And Jesus was always giving. Giving, giving, giving. And Jesus, he said, boy, he just broke it down. And in the end, he gave up the ghost. Oh, hallelujah. To buy your salvation, man. He gave up the ghost, man. It was just really amazing. I said, God, I want to die empty too. I don't want to die with all the stuff I was supposed to do and I didn't do it because the liar was in my ear, filling me with fear. And that's what he does. He fills you with fear, makes you afraid. As I said, humans, let me talk to the humans. Listen, the way has been set. The truth is in place. So now go out and fulfill your purposes for God. Die empty. Die with all your stuff done. Next point says, in contrast to the lie, the truth will exceed anything that a lie can offer. The truth is sustained by a foundation of existence. The truth is, he cannot be removed because he exists. You can try to bury him, lie about him, and ignore him, but the truth will rise again and again because of the essence of who he is. Truth is eternal. Truth, he's truth. You can't get rid of the truth. Folks, you can't get rid of the truth. We have all kind of drama going on in our lives, and we try to hide and lie and cover it up, but that truth keeps trickling on up. Because usually when you tell a lie, you got to tell another lie because the truth keeps trickling up. So I got to tell a lie to cover that new, the truth keeps coming up. But we have to tell lie after lie after lie after lie to cover one truth, because the truth keeps rising up over and over again. And that's just who Christ is. He is the truth. You can't get rid of him. He is going to keep coming back again and again and again. People kill me when they think they're going to bury Jesus and get rid of Jesus. And, oh, we're going to stop Jesus. We're going to stop Christianity. We're going to stop. I try. They've tried for over 2,000 years now. And here we still are. Still serving and praising God. Boy, and I'm telling you, all over the world, man. I was watching a movie last night. It was a Christian movie out of South Africa. Oh, my God. I was like, oh, my God. South Africa, I mean, just the beauty of Christ. And so I was like, oh, my God, look at this, Jesus. Boy, there's, I told you guys about these documentaries that they have on Netflix about this group, Korn. It's a rock group. And they're going all over the world just ministering. And I'm like, oh, my God, you cannot bury Jesus. He keeps rising up. They were allowed, I told you, they were allowed to go into the Dome of the Rock. And they don't let anybody in there. They went down in the Dome of the Rock and began to pray. Why? Because the truth. You can't stop the truth. You can lean on all this other stuff if you want to, guys. I'm sticking with Jesus. You know, I mean, people say, you know, everybody doesn't believe in the second coming. Okay, I'm sorry. I'm going to preach until he comes. But folks, I'm going on the first trip because I believe in the truth. Y'all can hang around for the second trip if you want to. I'm going on the first trip. I'm getting on the first bus. We're done. Okay, you guys can have my notes, you know, but I'm going on the first trip. Because I believe in the truth. Christ, the next point on your note says, Christ is the life. As he leads you to true purpose, he will create living, breathing, growing, and lasting fulfillment. Now, as we go to the second part, this third part of this name of Christ, the way, the truth, now we're on the life. Life, and boy, we're going to really break this down next week. But you got to understand the definition of life, and we're going to talk about the definition of life next week. But he will create you to be living, breathing, growing, and lasting fulfillment. Your days will be filled with inspiration brought by the Holy Spirit, making every day worth living. Every day, see, that's life. You know, that's life. Every day is worth living. Not up today and dead tomorrow. You know, up again, down. When you embrace the life, and every day is worth living. We got work to do, Jesus. What's on the agenda today? And sometimes you already got the meetings all laid out on your calendar. All the stuff you need to do. Okay, Jesus, today we got to go to court today. So Jesus, let's go into prayer. Lord, Holy Spirit, I got to go. Be with me, Holy Spirit, because you have no idea. It's never just about you. You go. I know sometimes you go into places, you're shaking in your boots. You got to go into a meeting and you're shaking in your boots and you're terrified and you're like, oh God. You pray because you got a purpose that day. God expects you to show up with him. Sometimes the reason why we go in and we fail, we never even asked him in. Yeah, I know we're Christians and I know we believe it, but so many times we don't even invite him into the meeting that was so detrimental to your life and you didn't even invite him in. Signing, closing on your house, closing on a car. Yeah, a car. You need to have Jesus when you're buying your car. Oh, yes, because you buy, I don't know, have you ever bought a lemon? You ever bought something that was dangerous and They got to all recall. Got to recall it. But ask the Lord to come with you everywhere. He wants to be that intimate with you. You know, I told you guys a story about my mom, how she'd be praying, you know, rebuking the devil out of her closet because she can't find her church dress. And I'm like, you know, Jesus has better things to do than to be fighting the devil so you can find your church dress.
I get that.
Okay. Okay. Happy birthday, Grandma.
Happy birthday
to you. Isn't that sweet? He wanted to come in and let you just let us say happy birthday to you. So happy birthday. Yes, he told me. I didn't know that. So where was I? What was I talking about? Oh, Mama's dress. But it taught me something. You know, guys, it taught me how intimate Christ is. If you can't find your stuff, sometimes I'm looking for stuff, I need my stuff, you know, I can't find my stuff. Lord, where are my stuff? A friend of mine taught me this prayer, and it's actually a scripture. It says, reveal, Lord, reveal that which was hidden and restore that which was lost. It's in Psalms. And I started to pray that prayer, and sure enough, well, I would find my stuff. It would come, Lord, go with me. You know, go, you know, so invite God into your stuff, into your little personal stuff. Sometimes I have not spoken it a word. I haven't said it out loud. I have just thought it, Lord, I just need help today on this. And God will come in and he'll give me, first of all, he'll give me a confirmation that he's going to be there before it happens. He always does that. He does that so that you can go in and feel at ease. I'm with you. I sent you a confirmation to let you know I heard your prayer that you didn't even speak out loud. I heard it. And I'm with you. You're walking in with me, the Creator, the way, the truth, the life. That's what you're walking in with. You don't have to hold your head down. Hold your head up. You're walking in with the Creator. So we want to understand, make every day worth living. The next point says, the liar brings dysfunction, but Christ brings function and divine intervention into your life and into the lives of those around you. As I said, it's never just about you. Embracing the life is not just for your life, but for the lives of those around you, the ones who are living with dysfunction. Here, you've accepted Christ. There are people all around you that are living with dysfunction. You know they're dysfunctional because of the way they behave. They need the life. They need their life to function. So they need you to stand out, to bring the life of Christ, a life that you know, into you so they can see a life that functions properly. So they can step out of their dysfunction. Life cannot function properly without the source of life. Let me read that again. Life cannot function properly without the source of life. It will flitter around for a moment, but will eventually die. Just like a fish. You've seen a fish out of water? We've all seen that. Flicking around, flicking around, flicking around, flicking around, but eventually it's going to die because, wait, why? It is cut off from its source of oxygen or life, which is the water. It has to get its oxygen from the water. But it flitters around. I think that's the way so many of us live. We flitter around, and then... and that's it. That was our life. That was it. We don't want to be like that. We want our lives to have purpose and function. When mankind sinned against God in the garden, he died. Death being the separation from God. From that day on, man's body began to decay. His soul became riddled with all types of corruption, and his spirit became empty of his life giver, which was God. You understand? That's when we died. That's when we became dysfunctional, is in the garden, when we chose to separate ourselves from the life giver, and we became dysfunctional from that moment on. And as we fast forward all these thousands of years, we're still a dysfunctional group. Then came the life. Thank you, Jesus, for the life. Hallelujah. I'm so glad for the life. I don't have to be dysfunctional anymore. With this being our new condition, Christ came to earth to supply the three essentials we needed to be redeemed. Number one, the way back to our life source, which is God through his salvation. Number two, the truth of our state of being and the message of rescue through Christ and the Word of God. And then finally, the life, the manifestation of restoration through his salvation and the filling again and again of our spirits with his spirit. So folks, that's the introduction to this lesson. I'm telling you, I was so excited just doing reading and lesson. The way, the truth, and the life, they go hand in hand. All these descriptions of Jesus Christ. And I hope, my prayer for us is that we will learn how to walk in that, how to live that. You know, I've heard this scripture since I was a kid. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. We would quote it as children. But I still don't think I quite get it. I still don't think I quite understand what this is, what this should be to me. Because I'm still flittering around. I'm still caught up with distraction sometimes. I'm learning, I'm growing, thank you, Jesus. I'm learning and I'm growing, but I'm trying not to be living without purpose. You know, as we look at this picture in our lesson with the cross covering the abyss, sometimes we're on the cross, but we kind of get distracted. You know, sometimes we're looking over at the abyss and looking and, you know, sometimes we stop to play hopscotch. We got all kind of other things going instead of continuing on the way. And then I love the way this artist did this, because when they get on the other side of this cross, the way is narrow. It's a narrow way. As the scripture says, narrow is the way that leads to life. I thought that was really, really clever of the artist that did this, that shows that narrow way on the other side. And you have to, you know, God's purpose is not that you park anywhere, but that you keep going until we see him again. So don't park. As we talked about in the lesson last week about the plan of salvation, it's not just, well, I got Jesus and now I'm in the door and now I'm just going to stand here by the door. No, you want to come on into the house. He's got a meal prepared for you in the dining room. Come on in, grow and learn, feast. Feast at his table and grow up in him. Let's be what we need to be. Any comments or questions? Because I can keep talking and talking. Virginia.
You notice on this picture here where it's narrow, mm-hmm. but how crooked it is.
Yes.
That way we can't see what's ahead of us.
Yes. Amen. Boy, that's good.
Because here, and then you go here and go, you look down this way, but then you go this way.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Wow, that's interesting. Yeah. Virginia was pointing out how the way is kind of curved, mm-hmm. you know, so you can't see ahead all the time. This is a faith walk, folks. Yeah. And that's absolutely true. Sometimes you don't see the way, you know, but you just know I'm on the path to Jesus. I'm on his path, so I keep going the way, you know.
Reduce your steps, go backwards.
Yeah.
And you go, oh, there they are.
Yes, I have to do that too.
And I just have to go, why did you give me that refusal?
Anyone else have a comment?
Well, I was going to say what you said, and that was growing up in the Lord. A lot of things that come at us in life, it's going to happen. But when you've grown in the Lord, you know it's not going to affect you because you're covered so much. So people have to grow up.
Yes. Amen. That was always God's intention, is for you to grow up. He never meant for you to stay like a five-year-old. You know, and it hurts my heart when I see Christians that, I mean, been Christians for years.
Yeah, that's right.
Still acting like a five-year-old.
Yeah,
but he intends for us to bring others with us.
Absolutely.
Not just about us. Like you said, not just about us.
Yes.
Because everything that happens, like with a person, like you said, there's a reason.
To slow us down, maybe, you know. Because I can't do a lot of the things that I used to do. I have to slow down.
Wow.
But I don't waste my time. I know that I can sit and intercede for families that need.
I can write
encouraging notes to them.
Wow.
I can text them. I can phone them. And, you know, and there's a lot of people that are, like you said, flitting around and needing needing prayer.
Yes. Yeah, yes, absolutely.
Intercession is...
It is powerful and needed.
Yes.
Yes.
And doing warfare.
Yes.
Praise and worship, and then go into warfare. I mean, there's nothing like this.
Amen.
When you start, it's like you never want to quit.
Yes.
That's right. Yes.
4 or 5 hours during the day. Oh Lord.
Yes. Wow. Yes. That is amazing. Thank you for sharing that. Because she was saying that even though she can't get around like she used to, boy, she goes into warfare. And she is praying, encouraging people, writing notes. I'm telling you, carrying out your purposes on the earth. You know? And it doesn't matter where you are in life, what station you are in life. You want to be carrying out your purpose. You know? This is not a message just for the young. This is a message for every one of us. Carrying out your purpose. Carrying out your purpose. Get outside of yourself. You know, some people are so self-absorbed, always thinking about me, and what am I, me, and how I feel, and me. You know, get outside of yourself. Go to the soup kitchen and volunteer. Go. You know, there's so many places that need help. You know, I don't understand why people feel lonely at Christmas and Thanksgiving. I'm like, do you know how many soup kitchens would love to have you come? How many people on Christmas are sitting alone and they would just love to have dinner? Purpose, folks, purpose. We got to get outside of ourselves and we have to grow up. You know, Miles Monroe said this too, and I love this quote too. He said, some people are mature and some people are just old. I don't want to be just old. I want to be mature. So you want to, you know, grow up. Stop letting everything bother you. You know, stay focused.
Keep your eyes on the Lord.
Yes, I want you guys to keep your eyes. I want you to study this picture. I mean, just the things that you guys have brought out so far. I didn't even see all that stuff. But just study it. Lord, am I on the way? Am I watching you? Am I staying with you? Or am I all distracted?
All over the place.
Yes.
Faith.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. Anybody else before we dismiss?
There was something that caught me here when you were saying knowers. You know, there's a lot of knowers. But I do believe that until we're drawn by the Spirit of God, that's all. It's a spirit that makes us more than just knowers.
Yes. Yes, exactly.
So, yeah. So we could really know a lot and still not know the way, the truth, and the life.
Amen.
Because it's the spirit that draws the spirit. And the only way we're going to know the truth and the freedom, man, just the thought of that. The thought of that, of the freedom we have in Christ, we're not going to know that unless the Spirit shows us and lets us know you're free.
Yes.
You could worship me, you could talk, you could laugh, You could have peace, you could have joy, because you're free.
Yes, exactly, exactly.
You know, and sometimes we just take that so literally.
Yeah.
Freedom.
Uh-huh.
Freedom is what sets you free.
Yes.
Freedom.
Absolutely.
And that truth will set you free, he says. Then where it said there about the dying, truth outlives lies. Now, when it says about us dying, doesn't mean we're going to croak and go to our happy hunting ground. That means dying even here.
Uh-huh.
That means even dying here, you know.
Yes.
That doesn't mean that, like I say, we're going to stop breathing.
Yeah. Now you're teaching a lesson for next week now, Virginia. Now just hold that.
That was on your spiritually thing here, Gabby.
Yeah.
And I thought to myself, geez, so many ways that we could be alive and yet be dead.
Yes. Absolutely. Purposeless.
Yeah.
No purpose. No growth.
No
productivity. Just here.
Just here.
Yeah.
Breathing air.
Using up resources.
You know, I start thinking to myself, there's so many times that you run into people that'll say, my family is so dysfunctional.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what a door opener that is for the Christian.
Mm-hmm.
Right away you think to yourself, well, you witness to them.
Yeah.
Your family's not dysfunctional.
Yeah.
And they need Jesus.
And sometimes the witnessing is not even necessarily coming in and do a Bible study. Sometimes, you know, well, tell me what's going on. Well, but they never had dinner. You know what? I'm going to bring dinner to your house the other day. I'll give it to you, and you can just set that dinner down. Well, I can't. You know, people, I can't cook. Hey, you know what? I'm going to bring a meatloaf over. I'm just going to give it to you, and you just share it with your family. I mean, it could be so many. I'm telling you, the Holy Spirit is, I mean, just so full of purpose. And he will give you a directive. You know, you don't know how to handle it, how to deal with it. And just a thought, hey, make them dinner and give it to them.
Well, you know, it's just like we've been praying for revival, revival, revival. Well, revival is come alive.
Yes. You're right.
You
that's
know,
the meaning of the word.
You know,
revive.
So...
Hey, Virginia, wake up.
Come alive.
Wake up.
it's so simple.
Yeah.
We're just waiting for
I tell you, Jesus is standing there just looking at the planet like,
what's wrong with them?
Well, we're gonna keep praying. Anybody else? Before we...
I was just going to say that every day I wake up and ask the Lord what my assignment is. And I was sharing this with my sister the other day, that every time someone passes away, I ask the Lord, now what's my assignment?
Mm.
And he says he gives me a purpose. And
yes.
Then I told him when my mother passed away, or Mr. Nick passed away, Lord, every time you give me an assignment, you take them away.
Wow.
So, you know, I'm not... This is getting hard for me to do this, you know, with people that are passing away.
Yeah.
And my sister said, don't look at it that way, Irene.
Yes.
Look at it that you made their life easier during the time that before they passed away.
You prepared.
And also, Irene, these people are at the door of eternity. And God is trusting you with them as they come closer to the door of eternity. Because if, you know, are they going
to
know him as they go through that door or not? So to be trusted with people that are on the way to dying, boy, that's a great trust.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're at the door of eternity. So, you know, and not everybody can bear it. God, he won't put more on you than you can bear. You know, because you've borne a lot. I mean, you're one of those people I look at and I am just like, Lord, if I could just be that strong.
Yes.
You know.
My strength is his. It's his strength.
I know it's his. You let his strength manifest in your life. You know, not everybody does that. But you let his strength manifest in your life. And we are watching and we see and we're like, oh my God. If you're real, because I see what you've done in her life. You know, how she just comes back and she's, new assignment. What's the new assignment, Father? You know, sometimes weeping. I know sometimes you weep. But you get up anyway and you come and you say, what's the assignment today, Father? And I admire that. She's, boy, you guys know the things that she's been through. And I'm like, Lord, I can do it too. because the same power that empowers her can empower me, and I can get up. Even with my losses, I can get up and I can say to you, what's the assignment today, Father? What do we need to do today? Who do we need to bless today? Lord, let me know so we can carry it out. So anyway, let's pray. Lord, we just thank you for this day, Lord. We thank you for your son. Oh, you are our creator, Lord, and we thank you that you accepted the gift, the blood of your son. Jesus, we thank you for how much you loved us.
Yes.
It blows our mind how much you loved us. Our biggest issue is that we can't wrap our brain around how much you love us.
Yes.
That you would come and become the way and the truth and the life for us. We didn't deserve it. We didn't earn it. You just came and you did it. And we want to say thank you. Thank you.
Hallelujah.
Thank you for doing what you've done. We ask that you would help us, Lord. Help us not to take your blood for granted. Lord, we say it over and over again, and we're going to say it again. Lord, we don't want to neglect this great salvation that you purchased for us with your precious blood. So I pray that we would learn these lessons, Lord, that our eyes would be open and our mind would be open to the Holy Spirit this week as you show us what we're supposed to do this week, Lord, this afternoon even. Lord, let us be obedient. We rebuke the liar in the name of Jesus. We rebuke the spirit of fear in the name of Jesus. And I pray that we will carry out what you have called us to carry out on the earth, your purposes. Your purposes that is wrapped in love. And we thank you and we praise you and we expect it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Just in time. Our battery was running low.